Do you want more energy, better sleep, and better health? Who wouldn't? Get a free Scalar Light no obligation 15-day trial at scalarlight.com.
Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and once again, welcome to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. Thanks for tuning in again, for giving up your time to listen to what we've got to talk about on the show today. Maybe some of you are giving up some time from your work, maybe you're in your lunch break, maybe you are at home with your feet up, maybe you're sacrificing listening, or watching rather, the Olympics to be able to listen to what we've got to say about diabetes. And that's what I want to kick off with today, is the whole concept of the Olympics and the run-up to it. And, you know, for us, we get a bit fed up with the run-up maybe in the weeks and maybe even the months perhaps, but particularly the weeks to the Olympics, because there is just so much on any sporting event. There's always loads of stuff on TV beforehand in preparation, building up the apprehension. And you know, even before that, they have programs showing where the Olympic torch is. They have the actual announcement many years before, I think it's 12 years before, of when the where the next Olympics are. Well, not the next one, but the next one in the scheme of things. I think it's the third next one, so it's 12 years, because it's every 4 years, isn't it? And that's what I want to home in on, the 4 years, a four-year plan in preparation for the next Olympics. Now, actually, this time, of course, courtesy of COVID, we are a year late, as I am sure you're aware. So 2021, we're celebrating the 2020 Olympics. But the next Olympics will not be in 4 years, because they're going to keep the cycle to the correct years, and therefore the next one is only 3 years away. Now, athletes normally have to prepare for a long, long time. And I was actually watching on TV yesterday evening. There was an athlete. It was a British athlete. I'm trying for the life of me to remember what it was he was involved in. I think it was swimming. Yes, it was swimming. I think it was the 200 freestyle where we got gold and silver. We being GB. And one of the swimmers there was saying how actually he had only, and please forgive me if I have got the wrong sport here, but I'm pretty sure that was the event. He had only really got the vision that this was possible only, I think it was a year and a half ago, something like that. So he's only been training in earnest, setting his focus, setting his dream on the Olympics in the past year and a half. But most athletes are actually, you know, right now, as soon as they finish this event, they will be working towards the next one, and they'll be planning to succeed, planning to improve, planning to regain that title if they win it this time. And yeah, you can tell from my enthusiasm that I do actually really enjoy things like the Olympics. I can get into any sporting event pretty much. In fact, just earlier on, we were sitting there, and the one that I would normally say that I haven't got any interest in whatsoever, sorry to offend any of you that love horses, but that is the dressage, and I just really don't get it. But we were having a meal earlier on, and the dressage was on, and GB was fighting for silver. In fact, they ended up getting bronze. But yeah, it was actually ended up being a little bit fascinating. So I even got, I wouldn't say hooked on that, but it was of interest. But some of the sports I get totally hooked on, not because I'm any good at any of them, but just because I find the whole competing and will Team GB do great, that mindset just really Well, yeah, I guess it takes me back to years when I was younger, when I was a little bit more able to do some of those sporting events. Anyway, I digress. What is my point? Well, my point is that if these athletes are aiming for that medal in 3 years' time, and they've got to plan their route to being at peak fitness then, I thought, what about us? What are we going to be like? Those of us that maybe aren't athletes, maybe we are a little bit, some of us, overweight. And certainly my weight has gone up a little bit over the lockdown period. And I need to do a bit of work on that. I'm trying to. Had my personal trainer earlier this evening and I can hardly walk right now. But where are we going to be in 3 years' time? You know, we could have 3 years of bad blood sugars. 3 years of those bad blood sugars really, you know, damaging our bodies, damaging our retinas, eyes, damaging our kidneys, damaging the nerves in our feet, really damaging our cardiac vessels, possibly even causing a stroke, heart attack, all sorts of complications relating to diabetes and high blood sugars. What are we going to be like in 3 years' time? And what are we going to be doing over the course of those 3 years to try to maybe make ourselves have the best opportunity of being at peak fitness ourselves in 3 years' time? You see, it doesn't have to be just the Olympic athlete going for the medal. You can make that decision today, just as they are making decisions to say, yes, I'm going to go for the next Olympics in 2024. You can make the same decision. 2024, I want to be at peak fitness. Now, I'm not saying that you necessarily have that as your target and that's it. You just focus on that one date, because any athlete will tell you that there are steps involved in getting there. But if they just focused on the one day, they would lose the plot. It's too far away. But if they break that down into where they want to be in 3 months' time, 6 months' time, a year's time, then it's going to help them much better build up and improve and improve and improve to get to that peak fitness. And that's what I want us to home in on today. I want you to just to think about it in your own mind. Please consider making Olympics 2024 a date where you are better than you ever have been. Some of you are thinking, how is that possible? I'm going to be 3 years older by then. Age is just a number. You can be feeling younger in 3 years' time. And I intend to be feeling younger in 3 years' time. I intend to be able to run faster than I can now and longer than I can now. And I intend to be less weight than I am now and better blood sugars than I am now. Those are just a few things that I want to improve on. And I want you to think of that. But then I want you to break it down and break it down into the months ahead. Okay, and even 6 months ahead is probably a little bit too long for you to break it down. But you can start by just, what am I going to do this coming month? August is coming. By the time that this show is out, halfway through that week, it's going to be the 1st of August. Wow, where's this year gone to? 1st of August. So make some goals for August. What are you going to do? Are you going to start going for a walk every day? If you go for a short walk, you're going to make it twice as long or maybe just a little bit longer. Maybe if you are really struggling with your walking, maybe you're elderly and you can't walk that much, maybe you can just start trying to improve a little bit. Maybe look into what walking aids there are. Maybe try some different shoes. Maybe go and see a podiatrist if your feet are bothering you. And maybe just walk a little bit further to the next tree in the park or to the next lamppost down the street. Just making little goals. For those of you that are a little bit fitter, then maybe, yes, you want to increase your exercise a little bit, or maybe increase the intensity of your exercise a little bit, or maybe you want to decide, you know what, for August, I'm going to eat off a side plate instead of a big plate. I'm going to cut my portions down. Maybe you want to cut out a certain type of food for August. It'll be a good start. But I don't want you just to go into that month blindly, making these decisions and not having a way of tracking how you're doing. Because any sportsman will tell you as well that it's the rewards of knowing you're doing well is incredible. And if you've got a coach, they want to know if you're not doing well so they can help you to improve. So test and measure what you're going to be doing. And I suggest, therefore, that before the 1st of August, that you do get a bit of a grip on what your blood sugars are doing. Get a bit of a grip on it so you know where you are at a starting point, and then introduce some changes in throughout August and have a look at how your blood sugars change. Maybe how your blood pressure changes. You can buy blood pressure equipment for, you know, very cheaply, very reasonably now online and from chemists, pharmacies. Go and get one and check your blood blood pressure. Check your blood glucose regularly and see how the interventions you're going to start doing, how they change things. We had Dr. Eugene on the other week. Go back and have a look at that. And he was sharing about his book and just how that can really be a way of improving things just by trying one thing at a time and seeing whether it helps or not. If it doesn't help, then, you know, probably you won't need to change that thing. But if it does help, that should boost your morale and really help you to make that decision to keep that as part of your lifestyle going forward. So I'm hoping that this is going to be motivational to you to make that target, long distance target for 3 years' time, to be in the better place you can be. And remember the place I talk about, the diabetic sweet spot, yeah, where you know the most about the condition you possibly can, where you know your own personal risk and where you're taking action upon it. And you're in the safest place then. And it isn't an overnight thing. It's not a question of I'm going to get in the diabetic sweet spot tomorrow. It's a question of improving gradually, getting to know more about the condition, getting to know your own personal risk more and more, and then taking actions as you become aware of what is helpful. And therefore, the diabetic sweet spot that you might be in tomorrow, i.e. the safest place you possibly can be because of what your knowledge is and what your knowledge of your risk is and the actions you've taken, that diabetic sweet spot is going to be different to what you might be in even the following day if you've done a bit more learning, if you've made a new decision, or the following week if you've read a chapter in a book about diabetes, if you've been to a podiatrist and had your foot health check, or maybe you've had your retinas checked, you know your risk factors, and maybe you'll have taken some action. So you'll be in a different diabetic sweet spot. So the diabetic sweet spot is a movable feast. And ideally, you get more and more into the center of it, into that perfect safety spot. And being aware that even in that safety spot, there's still dangers relating to diabetes. So the best possible thing you can do if you've got type 2 is to try and reverse that diabetes. If you've got type 1 is to manage it impeccably, to make sure that your blood sugars are as good as they possibly can. So my homework for you at the moment is, first of all, make the decision. Yes, Olympics 2024, I am going to be in the best condition I ever have been. I'm going to be in the diabetic sweet spot, the best place I possibly can be, given the condition that I have lived with so far, given the processes that have gone on so far. Some of you might be sitting there saying, how on earth can I be in the best possible place I ever have been if I've already got a foot ulcer, or I've already had an amputation, or I can't see properly, or I've had a cardiac arrest? Well, yeah, obviously you can't get back to how you were when you were 21, but you can improve things. You can make yourself make the best of life and be in the safest possible place for you, given the pathology that has already taken place in your body. And that's really all you can do to be in the safest possible place. So homework, getting back to that again, make that decision and then make a decision what you're going to do next month. Simples. If you need to get hold of a blood pressure monitor, or maybe you just need to make a decision to go to a local pharmacy or your GP where they may have one you can use, then get that sorted. Maybe a blood sugar monitor. Maybe you need to buy some stocks for that. Maybe you need a new one. Check them out online. You can often find some great deals. And make sure that your blood sugars make sure what they're like before the month starts. And then make sure you know what you're going to be doing. Okay, if it is that side plate, then just make sure you're going to do it to it. And I suggest you tell somebody. If you live alone, tell somebody outside, maybe a family member, say, look, I'm going to start eating smaller portions. I'm going to use a side plate. Please help me take my big plates away. Or help me just by calling me. Let's have a video call when I've got my dinner ready. So you'll see how much I'm going to be eating. Or should I say how little you're going to be eating. Maybe it's a question of getting somebody to hold you accountable. Yeah, maybe somebody the other side of the world. Maybe you've got a cousin out in Australia. Link up with them. Get on that Zoom call and tell them what you're planning on doing. Why? So that they can hold you accountable. And so that even if they're not holding you accountable, in your mind, somebody is likely to ask you at some point how you're getting on with the changes you're making. And then throw yourself into it. And I would suggest keeping a record. Have a bit of paper, have a diary or something like that, where you are putting down what exercise you did or what food you ate, how much you ate. Maybe it's a question of eating earlier. That's something which is a problem for me. I eat too late too often, and that's not good. Whether you're getting enough sleep, that's another thing which can affect your diabetes. I'm just throwing out some ideas. I'm sure that you will come up with some ideas that are particularly pertinent to your lifestyle, which you know deep down. Actually, if I can knock that on the head, I'm sure my blood sugars are going to improve a little bit. Like I said, make sure you know whether they're improving by testing before, testing during, and seeing how the blood sugars improve over that course. I hope this has been proven helpful. I hope that the lasting legacy of the Olympics, we talked about that a lot for 2012, and every country talks about the legacy of their Olympics that they put on. And I feel so sorry for Japan and the problems that they've got with the coronavirus and the lack of audience, lack of tourists. It's going to be a great loss for them. And I do feel for them. The legacy of the 2012 Olympics, there was so much talk about that. Well, what is going to be the legacy of the 2024 Olympics for you personally? Is it going to be that, 3 years ago, I remember that guy on the radio, he challenged me. I took up the challenge, and you know what? My blood sugars are so much better. I'm less heavy than I am. I'm wearing smaller clothes than I was. I'm fitter than I was. Wouldn't that be good? You know, before this, I was struggling what song to play on the show today. And I wasn't thinking of using that phrase there of, wouldn't it be good if at the Olympics 2024, you are in the best possible place with your diabetes, in that diabetic sweet spot. Well, you know what? Wouldn't it be good? Is a song that came to mind just as I was recording now. So, looked it up, and yes, sure enough, there was that song. I remember it from the 80s, Nick Kershaw, and Wouldn't It Be Good? So, hope you enjoy a little bit of music from the 80s.
I'd stay right there if I were you. I got it harder. You couldn't dream how hard I got it. Stay out of my shoes, if you know that's good for you. The heat is stifling, burning me up from the inside. The sweat is coming through each and every pore.
That was Nick Kershaw and Wouldn't It Be Good? And if you did join us during that song, then what I was talking about before the song was how wouldn't it be good if you could make sure that by the next Olympics 2024, you were in the safest possible place that you have ever been with your diabetes. And the journey, just like it does for the athletes, starts now. We want you to really consider ways that you can improve your lifestyle so that you can make sure that your journey to the next Olympics is really good, but also that actually you're going to be on top of the world when the time comes. Now, there's many, many ways in which you can get to be in the safest possible place. You know, some people have bariatric surgery. Some people go on weight loss diets. Some people manage their type 1 with different medications from the doctor. They've changed the medications. Type 2 changed the medications. There's all different ways of managing, increasing your exercise, going low carb, all sorts of things. Now, today we've got a guest on the show to talk to us about another approach. And I think you're going to find it quite fascinating. I'm not going to spoil it. We're going to be talking about something which is really for people who are quite heavily overweight or obese. So you have to have a BMI of 27 or over. In fact, during the interview, I was joking a little bit because my BMI is just under 27. It's in the 26s at the moment. Yes, I have put some weight back on over the period of COVID, despite trying to keep fit. And also, actually, I think, last time I went to see my nurse, I'd lost a bit of height as well. So that doesn't help with your BMI, does it? But anyway, I was joking with him that, you know, what does that mean? I need to eat a bit more to become eligible for this treatment to get up to the 27. I was only joking that I don't particularly want to increase my BMI just so I can have a different treatment. But it does sound fascinating. Do stick around. We're going to play another song now. I know there's not much of a gap between the two songs, but this song was actually chosen by Mr. Ahmed Ahmed, so it's only right that I play it. And the song is by the Happy Mondays, and it is called Holiday. I hope you enjoy it, and afterwards we'll get straight into that interview. That was the Happy Mondays and Holiday, and that song was one of the songs chosen on the show today by our guest, who is Mr. Ahmed Ahmed. He is a consultant in weight loss here in London in the UK, and he's going to be talking about something quite fascinating, actually, something which if you are a little bit overweight, if you are a little bit obese, then hey, it may be something for you to consider having as an option to help you in your battle to lose weight. If you're one of those ones that keeps yo-yoing and can't keep it off, or maybe you just really struggle to shed those pounds, then listen on. It may well be something of interest to you. So please join with me in welcoming him to the show, Mr. Ahmed Ahmed.
Morning.
Good morning, Ahmed. Great to have you on the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm assuming I can call you Ahmed because your first name and your surname is Ahmed, I believe.
Absolutely. I won't take an offence.
So,
if we tell you not in the American Army, but you calling me my last name, it's absolutely fine.
So, Ahmed, before we got you on, we actually just played your song there, your first choice there, which was by the Happy Mondays, Holiday. Please just share quickly why you chose that song.
Because I want to be on holiday, but I'm not able to go anywhere on holiday. So the best I can do is to think about being on holiday. And that song brings a lot of happy memories for me, for, you know, when I was growing up in the 90s. I think that song is from back from then, so it just reminds me of that feeling of being on holiday.
Great. Okay, well, that's definitely a good reason, especially in the present climate when there's not many holidays going on. So great stuff. Now, you are an expert consultant in weight loss, I believe. That's your area of expertise.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Please tell us a little bit more, because I believe you do bariatric surgery and things like that. But I think you're here to talk about something a little bit, a little bit less invasive, maybe, but that might have the similar results.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do operate on patients who suffer from severe obesity. And certainly, you know, for that group of patients, we use weight loss surgery or bariatric surgery, which includes procedures like, you know, gastric bypass, sleeve gastrectomy, and gastric band. But actually, you know, if we look at the nature of excess weight and being overweight, there's a lot more people who are just, you know, modestly overweight rather than being super obese. So the majority of our population doesn't need such aggressive intervention. What we do need, however, is to find something that's better than dieting, but still good at giving, you know, long-term and modest weight loss. Because, of course, yes, we have the option of bariatric surgery for the severe cases, but we need to find something that's kind of available for the majority of us who put on a bit of weight but are not able to lose it through dieting and exercise.
Mm. And I guess it's a bigger problem now than it has been ever because of the lockdown and inactivity. And I think there's been a bit of research done into the amount that people are snacking. Is that right?
Precisely. So, I mean, I'm not sure about you, but certainly I put my hand up, even myself, my colleagues, my relatives, pretty much everybody I know is complaining that, you know, since kind of middle of last year, you know, almost everybody's put on some weight. And that's due, you know, to the lockdown effect, with people being more sedentary, staying at home, having ease of access to snacks, to foods. Not going out at all, not going out to gyms. So all of this is leading to, you know, people putting on weight. And the real problem, of course, we have is, yes, dieting and exercise should be tried. But for anybody who's tried dieting, which is intentionally going into sort of a starvation mode, it's not really that successful. You know, if we actually look at the science of dieting, and you actually see how many people have lost weight and maintained weight loss successfully long-term, it actually is very, very few indeed. Mm. And the reason for that is that when you do go on a diet, your whole biochemistry changes. So you're kind of starving yourself, because that's what most diets want you to do.
Yeah.
And essentially, your hormones change. So the hormones that make you feel hungry, their levels shoot up during a diet. and other hormones that make you feel full during a meal, their levels go down, your metabolism slows down. So your whole biochemistry and your biology changes to basically almost make that diet fail the day you start the diet. Because your body does not want you to do the diet. Your body thinks you're starving yourself and you're in the middle of a famine, which clearly you're not. So we need to find some way and some technique where we can still lose weight, but not have all these compensatory mechanisms destroy the diet. And this is where this new innovative Allurion balloon system comes into action. So it's been around for quite a number of years now. I've certainly been using it for about over a year and a half now. And I think it's a really interesting device, which is sort of, you know, break that vicious cycle of the increase in hunger that you get when you diet, because it breaks that. It just does not allow that to happen.
Mm. Well, I can really relate to what you're saying, and it was certainly interesting. I was looking it up last night before speaking to you today. It does sound fascinating. I think it's been around for sort of 8 or 9 years or so. I think I read that it's been around, but probably more mainstream.
Yeah, the balloons. Yeah, so actually stomach balloons, the concept of having stomach balloons have actually been around for, I would say, 20, 30 years.
Okay.
But the real innovation with the Allurion balloon is the delivery mechanism. Mm. Because traditionally, stomach balloons, you'd have to come into hospital, have anesthesia or very deep sedation, and then have a procedure where the doctor puts a camera down your mouth and then physically puts a balloon in your stomach. And then, you go home either later the same day or the next day, and then you come back 6 months or 12 months later and you repeat the process to remove the balloon. The really clever thing about the Allurion balloon is that you can come into the hospital and it's done as an outpatient. It's not even a procedure. Literally what we do with the Allurion balloon, because it comes as a pill, is we encourage anybody who wants to have it to swallow the pill with a glass of water. The pill ends up in your stomach. We do an x-ray to make sure it's in the right area. And then the pill has a little wire coming out of it, and we connect the wire to a bag of fluid, and the fluid is then emptied into the pill, which expands into a balloon. That takes about 10, 15 minutes. We do another x-ray, pull the wire out, and then the patient goes home. So there's no procedure. You know, you're awake through the whole thing, and you go home after 15, 20 minutes. And then after 4 months, the balloon itself empties out. So it's got a little time release valve, which opens up, all the fluid comes out, and then the skin of the balloon makes its way out through the intestine, through a bowel movement automatically. So you don't need any kind of intervention or procedure to remove the balloon. So it's all automatic.
Wow. It sounds very interesting. I suppose my big question is, especially looking at myself, I did look in the mirror this morning and thought, I'm sure I'm a candidate for this. I've actually had type 2 diabetes. In fact, I'm sort of back into the sort of pre-diabetes, diabetes range. And I've done Roy Taylor's diabetes reversal diets in the past, and they've worked. But like you say, can you sustain it? And I know that's largely down to lifestyle afterwards. But who is this for? I mean, my BMI, for example, is 26.8. I worked it out last night. I think I've lost a bit of height, so it's gone up a little bit. And so I'm not in the obese range, but I'm definitely in the overweight range. I mean, is that something that somebody like me would benefit from, or is that...
So actually, you're nearly there. The BMI minimum threshold to be eligible for the Allurion balloon is BMI 27.
Okay, so I need to eat a bit more, you're saying? or exercise a bit less. Okay, so 27, somebody who's got a BMI 27 is a candidate for it, but anything below that, it's not suitable for.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's there for anybody who wants, you know, a modest amount of weight loss. So it kind of bridges the gap between, you know, those patients who have morbid obesity, who clearly need bariatric surgery. Mm. But again, for those patients where dieting, you know, they've tried and it's failed. So it's a very nice way to bridge that gap.
Mm. So basically just tricking the stomach into thinking that there's still food in there, but it's got enough in it, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you can imagine, I mean, the balloon is, when it's in your stomach, it's about the size of a grapefruit or a mini football. And indeed, it does that. It stretches the stomach receptors. The stomach sends signals to your brain. It gives that feeling that your stomach is full, you're not hungry. And so you basically, you can go, you know, through the day with eating. I mean, you still have to eat, of course, and you can still eat, but just less than before. So that's why it's such a powerful tool that you know, because obviously if you were doing a diet, all you think about is you crave food, you have hunger. Yeah. But this just breaks that cycle completely. And the best thing is, because it stays in your body for 4 months, it actually, you know, changes your behavior.
Right.
So that even after 4 months, once the balloon leaves your system, the behavioral changes are so sort of, you know, this has been set into your brain, they become like a way of living, that even beyond 4 months, you still maintain, for the most people, you maintain those good habits and the weight loss continues or is maintained. So in fact, if you look at the scientific literature about the Allurion Balloon, it's been shown that folks have actually maintained, you know, 10 to 15% of their weight loss, not just at 4 months, but even a year later. The published data shows that those patients have maintained the weight loss, which is amazing because the balloon actually left their systems, you know, 8 months before that.
Wow. Okay. So the success rate sounds like it's pretty good for people then, yeah?
Most people, yes.
Yeah. Brilliant. And is it available on the NHS? Is it a private only thing?
So it has what we call NICE approval. So that means it is a NICE approved NHS treatment, but you'll find very few NHS centres, if any, are actually offering it.
Right.
So at this current moment, I would say it's purely available on a private basis.
Okay. Ballpark figure, are you able to give that? Or?
Yeah, sure. It's about £3,900, £4,000, just shy of £4,000 in most units, yes.
Okay. Well, your cost of eating special diet foods can, with multiple attempts, can add up to quite a lot. So
absolutely, yeah. Doing these special, you know, going on these various sort of marketing diets or promoted diets, they're quite expensive. If you basically join these various groups, then you probably find if you do that over years, you probably end up spending more money on that than on this.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a question, because this is a diabetes show. Obviously, we've got people with type 1, type 2, etc. My interest in diabetes is partly because I had developed type 2, but then my daughter developed type 1. And somebody with type 1, is this something which, if they have got type 1 but they are overweight and they want to get their BMI down, that it could be used on somebody with type 1?
Yes, it can be. So type 1 diabetes typically is the one that, you know, develops in childhood. Mm. Most patients with type 1 don't tend to be obese. Usually the type 2 patients that tend to be overweight or obese. But even, you know, with type 1 diabetics who are carrying excess weight, this could be used to reduce their weight. And as their weight comes down, actually their use, their dosage of insulin, there still need to be an insulin,
yeah,
but you'll find that they actually need less insulin.
Mm. Okay. I know my daughter, she just shared that she's just been put onto metformin as well. So as soon as I sort of read about this, I thought, you know what, I wonder if this is going to be suitable. Anyway, do you want to share how people can get in touch with you? Have you got, I know you have got a practice, do you want to share your website or something? Or?
Yeah, it's very kind, thank you very much. So it's very simple, it's thelondonweightclinic.com. And if you just type in the London Weight Clinic or TLWC, .me, it'll come up, and we offer everything from this, but also weight loss surgery and also dietary plans and behavioral therapy and also pharmaceuticals. So we come with the whole sort of holistic management of excess weight.
Brilliant. And our listenership is around the world, so I assume because it's so non-invasive, people could literally fly in and have it done, and well, maybe not at the moment with COVID, but going forward, that might be something of interest for people outside this country who, I'm sure it's available in other countries, but is that possible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Brilliant. Okay. Great. I know we're pretty much up on time, so I really appreciate your time this morning. It's been fascinating, and I'll probably be getting in touch. You had another song you wanted to share with the listeners, so please, I'm going to leave you to introduce that song.
Thank you. My second song is a really sort of song that comes from the movie Iron Man. It's the opening theme song, which is Thunderstruck by AC/DC. And that just sort of, you know, every time I listen to it, it just sort of empowers me and I feel like an Iron Man in the morning. So I hope your listeners will listen to it and also have that same feeling.
Brilliant. Okay, excellent. I need to feel like an Iron Man today. I've got lots of patients coming in myself. So, okie dokes. Well, thank you so much for your time, Ahmed. It's been really fascinating.
Very nice to speak to you. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, have a wonderful day.
Cheers. Bye.
That was AC/DC and Thunderstruck, as chosen by our guest on the show today, Dr. Ahmed Ahmed, or should I say Mr. Ahmed Ahmed, because he is a consultant in weight loss here in the UK and London. If you missed that interview, and particularly if you are overweight or obese, or if you know somebody who is, and we are talking about a BMI, I believe he said above 27, then you know, do go back and listen, because it may be an option for you to be able to help you in your fight to try and lose some weight long term. Also, if you missed the beginning of the show, I did talk a little bit there about the Olympics and what you might be able to learn from them. And I know Dr. Ahmed was very, very interesting there, so hopefully you haven't forgotten what I was saying at the beginning about setting that target, that three-year target for the Olympics in 2024, for you to be in the safest possible place that you ever have been with your diabetes, to feel on top of the world. And it starts with next month. Well, actually, it starts with now, preparing for next month. Go back and have a listen anyway, see what you think, and hopefully it'll be something that you'll embrace, and it'll be life-changing. And actually, you won't have to wait till 2024. Actually, your life will start changing from the changes you make next month. And then each month you're going to build on it and build on it and build on it, just as the athletes build on their fitness and on their skills, so they're in prime fitness for the Olympics. So too, you're going to build on your control of your diabetes, so that in 2024, you are at peak control of your diabetes. You're right slap bang there in the middle of a diabetes sweet spot. I hope you've had an amazing time listening to this, and I hope you have a fantastic week ahead. Do tune in again next week. I'm on holiday next week, but I've still got to make the show, so I'll have something for you. Anyway, have a wonderful time. Take good care. And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care, and God bless.